Conversation or the continuation of our conversation concerning Hilchos Kibud Av Va'em with an interesting question. What happens if a parent is a Rasha? Do we say that one should still be mechabed them? After all, they are your parents, the persons that brought you into the world. Or do we say, no, how could you be mechabed a Rasha? So this is a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam writes, Hamam zer chayev b'kibud aviv v'imo umorau afa pishu pater al-makaso v'kalaso. So your chayv and kibud aveim and yiras aveim, even though the parent created, you know, made him a mamzer, not just did a terrible aveira even if he did a terrible aveira in terms of the conception of this child, and even if the parents have left the child with this terrible stigma, still your chayv and kavod and yira. There's a slight difference in terms of haka, but fundamentally, you're chayev in kavod and yira. And likewise, the Rambam says, "Afilu haya aviv rasha uval averos." Even if the parent is a rasha or a bal avera, mechabdo misyar mimenu, you're still chayev in kavod and yira. The Hagos Maimonios quotes that the Bali Tosos disagree with this ruling. The Bali Tosos say you're pater if a parent is a rasha. They bring an interesting raya from a Gemara in Ezehu Neshech. The Gemara says, if a parent bequeaths to a child a cow, let's say, that was collected as ribis, so the parents violated the Isser of ribis, they collected a cow as an interest payment, and then they bequeathed that child, that cow to the child. So the Gemara says, the child still has to return the cow to the original owner because of kibud. The Gemara says, why? In other words, the Gemara basically says that you shouldn't be chayv in kibud ava'im, and in this case, returning the ribis is kibud ava'im because it doesn't technically belong to the other party. It was given willingly. It's just that there's a mitzvah to return it, so that otherwise people say, wow, this guy's father was a real rasha. And the Gemara answers, we're talking about a case where he did tshuva and would have really wanted to return it himself, but he didn't have a chance yet to return it because he died before he had a chance to return this cow. So the Gemara seems to pretty clearly conclude that a child is not chayv in kibud av va'em if the parent is a rasha. So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam, that you are chayv in kibud av va'em even if the parent is a rasha. Now let's make this clear. We're not talking about an abusive situation or the like. Obviously, even the Rambam would say that one would not do it and you have to protect yourself and the like. We're talking about a rasha. We'll have to define a rasha. But even in that case, you're chayv in kibud av va'em. And the Ramah says, no, you're pater. Again, we'll have to define what type of rasha we're talking about where we say you're pater from kibud av va'em. But the Ramah says, you're pater in kibud av va'em for rasha. Now, when we're talking about a rasha, what type of rasha are we talking about? So the example that that the Tosfos bring to prove that you're pater for rasha is someone who lends with ribis. Generally, if you look at the poskim, we seem to be talking about someone who does averos, bemazed. We're not talking about a person that, you know, every so often does an avera, leteavon, because they desire it. We're talking about someone who does averos bemezid, he's mar belachto, he does it a lot, or he does it lahachis, or something along those lines. The poskim say, even if you follow the view of the Ramah, which Ashkenazim presumably follow, you still can't cause the parent sar, just because they're a rasha, but you are not obligated in kavod. So sometimes a Bali Tshuva see this halacha of the Ramah, that you're not chayv if your parents are rasha, and they say, okay, so I don't have to be mechabed my parents because my parents aren't Shomer Shabbos or aren't Shomer Kashrus. So I don't think that's what the Ramah is talking about. Generally speaking, today, people that aren't Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrus, it's not because they're Rishayim, they weren't educated, and they don't really know better. And even if child Bal Tshuva's been trying to teach them and they still haven't yet caught on, I don't think we would say you're pater from kibud av va'em. You are still chayv, generally speaking. A child who is a Bal Tshuva's parents aren't observant is still chayv in kibud av va'em. So it's pretty rare that it could happen, There are still Rishayim that would qualify, but it's pretty rare that someone would qualify for as a Rasha to be Pater from Kibud Avaim. Now, an interesting question is, how would the Rambam respond to Tosos's question? This is a very straightforward raya against Tosos. The Gemara says explicitly that the child who has inherited the cow that was collected as ribbis does not have to pay it back unless the parent did tshuva, because otherwise the parent's a rasha. So how would you respond to that raya? So Rav Schechter has a piece on this in which he says that there's actually two aspects to the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and we discussed this at the beginning. One is Bein Adam L'Chaver, and one is Bein Adam L'Makom. Now, when a parent is alive, there's both the Bein Adam L'Chaver aspect and the Bein Adam L'Makom aspect. But the Gemara that says over there that the child doesn't have to do Kibud Av when the parent's a rush is talking about after the parent has died. And perhaps after the parent has died, there's only a Bein Adam L'Makom aspect remaining, because there's no Bein Adam L'Chavero aspect, after all. They're not even alive. So there's only a Bein Adam L'Makom. Ah, so about that, we say if he's a Rasha, then there's no Bein Adam L'Makom aspect either, because there's no Bein Adam L'Makom to be Mechaber to Rasha. But when they're alive, so if there's no, even if there's no Bein Adam L'Makom aspect, because they're a Rasha, but there still is that Bein Adam L'Chavero aspect, and that's why the Rambam says, you're Chayv in Kibud Avim, even if the parent is a Rasha. So that brings us actually to our next topic, which is Kibud Av Va'em L'Achar Misa. We've been talking about until now Kibud Av Va'em when the parent is alive, but there also is Kibud Av Va'em L'Achar Misa. And the Gemara says, Mechabdo, L'Chayv Mechabdo B'Moso, B'Moso Ketzad. What is an example of being Mechabdo L'Achar Misa? Haya Omer Davar Shmua Mepiv. If you say over a halacha, let's say in your father's name, Lo Yomar Kach Amar Ava, you shouldn't just say my father said this halacha, Ela Kach Amar Abba Mori Hareini Kaparis Mishkabo. A person whose father has passed away, my father's alive, but a person whose father's passed away should say, Kach, so said Avi Mori Hareini Kaparis Mishkabo. What does Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo mean? Rashi says it means Al Yad Allah Yavo Kol Ra Haraui Lavo Al Nafsho. Upon me should come all the bad that is worthy to come onto him. In other words, the person says that my father is deserving of suffering in Gehenim, so I want that suffering. I don't want him to have it. It's an interesting idea. Does that really work? Don't we usually say Hanefsha Chotas Hitamos? A person can't take the suffering of somebody else. So it could be that it's an expression and it doesn't literally happen, but it could also be that a child, we say, has a special relationship with a parent because the parent has brought them into the world and is responsible for their existence. And that way the mitzvos that a child does, even after a parent passes away, can have a positive effect on the parent. That's the idea of giving tzedakah and yisker, for example, because the parent has left this legacy in which a child does that. And perhaps along similar lines, we say Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo might work as well. There's a phrase Bra Kara Deavua that might reflect this. So that's the halacha. The halacha is that you say within 12 months Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo. The Gemara says after 12 months you say Zichrono Levracha L'Chaye HaOlam Haba. Now, what happens at 12 months? Why is it different? The answer is that we assume that, generally speaking, the maximum penalty, the maximum sentence in Gehenim is 12 months. So while the parent might be in Gehenim, so then you say, Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo, those pains that they might get in Gehenim, so they should come upon me. But after 12 months, they're no longer in Gehenim, presumably, so then you say, Zichrono Levracha L'Chaye HaOlam Haba. Now, one interesting question is that the Gemara mentions that you should use these phrases, either Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo or Zechron Levrach Lohem Ava, when you're Omer Davar Shmua Mipiv, when you're saying over a piece of Torah, Halacha, or name. So does that mean that is the only time you ever say this? Or, that's an example, but any time you say over something from your parents or even refer to them, you should say these phrases. So this is a debate. If you look at the Riyah Zaken assumes that it's Dafka Dvar Torah, some Halacha Dvar Torah, like the Gemara literally says, a Shmua that you hear over in your parents' name, that's what you would say, either Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo, or Mishkava, or Zechon Levrach Lohem Ava. However, the Ramah seems to disagree, and the Ramah says that even if it's not a Dvar Shmua, you say a recipe, or some sage advice, or something that your father or your mother said, even in those cases, you would use these phrases. There's an interesting discussion we won't get into. Do you say these phrases, at least for Rebbe Muvak, or not? Now, so one example of Kibud Avim Lachar Misa is this halacha, saying Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo or Zechon Levrach Lohem Ava. Another example is saying Kaddish. There's actually an interesting question, which is Kaddish, though there are different opinions in the Rishonim, but the common practice is that Kaddish is said for 11 months, not 12 months. Why not 12 months? Because we don't want to implicate our parents and imply that they got the maximum sentence. The maximum penalty is 12 months. So even though Avelos for a parent continues for 12 months, the Avelos doesn't end after 11 months, but saying Kaddish, and maybe davening for the Amud, there are different customs about that, but saying Kaddish and perhaps davening for the Amud ends after 11 months. We don't want to imply that they got the maximum penalties. But then when it comes to this din, the Gemara says, you say Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo for 12 months. So which one is it? So the Taz gives an answer. The Taz says, well, here we're stuck because not to say anything is a bizayon to our parents. And to start saying Zechon Levrach Lohem Ava doesn't make sense if they're still in Gehenim. So you have no choice. You have to continue saying Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo. Whereas for Kaddish, you have an option. You could just not say anything. Not saying Kaddish in the 12th month isn't a bizayon. That's what he suggests. You see then that the Taz holds that these phrases are very bedafka. You dafka have to say Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo. And you can't say something else. You can't say Alav HaShalom or Zechrono Levrach or the like. The Shach and others disagree. And that seems to be the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is, I haven't heard, I've heard some people say Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo, but most people say Zechon Levrach, they say Alav HaShalom. You should say something for your parents if they're no longer alive. But it doesn't have to be Dafka, Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo or Meshkava or Zechrono or Zechrona Levrach L'chayo Olam Haba. It could be any type of bracha is suitable. And that's the more common practice, though as we said, the Taz says Dafka, you have to say it in this way. There are some other answers to the question of the 11, 12 months, the Stira. I think it's nice to actually do the way the Gemara says it, but it's not mandatory, especially if you're uncomfortable saying something like Hareini Kaparas Meshkavo. Yeah, you had a question.
My question was how Alav HaShalom factored.
Yeah, so that's the answer. Okay. We mentioned the idea of saying Kaddish for a parent. Where does the idea of saying Kaddish for a parent come from? So it's not in the Gemara. One of the earliest sources is in Or Zeruah, which is Rishon, an Ashkenazi Rishon, Masechet Shabbos, and Menon, who quotes a Medrash. We don't have the Medrash in the original, but we have the Medrash quoted in the Or Zeruah. I'll mention it. It's an interesting and well-known story. Ma'isa Rabbi Akiva Shaya Mahalech Beveis HaKvaros. Once Rabbi Akiva was walking in the cemetery, and he sees a person, Shaya Arum, the Shachar, he was naked and black and mamish disgusting, and carrying this very heavy load of thorns on his head, and he was groaning and kvetching. So Rabbi Akiva assumed he was alive, and he wanted to go help him. And, you know, what do you see when you see someone carrying a heavy load? Of course, you go try to help the person. So he said to him, you know, you can't help me. Why? B'vakasha mimcha, al takveni, don't hold me up. Shama yirgazu, be hamimunim alai, because the people who are in charge of me might get angry, I might be late. So Rabbi Akiva says, what's going on here? You know, why do you have to do this? Who are these horrible people that are making you do this terrible work? So he says to Rabbi Akiva, so every day they send me to chop wood. And he tells Mamish a horrible, like all the terrible things he has to do. So Rabbi Akiva still wants to help him. So he asks you, like, you know, what happened that you have this terrible, terrible onesh? So he says, what was your job when you were alive? So he says, I was a tax collector. But I was a corrupt tax collector. Ah, the worst of the worst. So I would show favoritism to the wealthy people and mamish kill the poor people. Right? Tax cuts for the wealthy and increased taxes for the poor. The lo hinachti davar asur shelo asisi bol mahua. Not just that, but everything Aser I did. So Rabbi Akiva asked him, did you hear anything from those who were in charge of you that there's maybe something you could do? Is there some takana? So again, he says, don't hold me up. It might be late. They're going to get angry at me. But then he tells him, I heard from them something that can't be. Because they said, il mole haya lo le'ani ze ben, Shaya Omid Bekal, the Omer, Baruch was Hashem Mavorach, the Hain Omer Nacharav, Yehesh Me Rabba Mavorach, Miyad Matirinoso Menapuranos. If this man has a son who will say Baruch and cause the Kal to say Yehesh Me Rabba, so then he would be released of these terrible pains. But it's impossible because I don't have any son. So he says, maybe you do. Said, well, yeah, actually I did. But of course I abandoned him. I abandoned his mother when she was pregnant. And I don't even know who the mother was. I don't know if it's a son or a daughter. I don't know, you know, who, if anyone taught him Torah or anyone took care of him or the like. So Rabbi Akiva decided he's going to take on this project. Find out who this son was and teach him Torah and bring him before the Kahal. To lead the Kala. So he asks him, Mashimcha, what's your name? Amar lo, Akiva. Fascinating. His name was also Akiva. It's what to talk about that, but not for now. And who is this woman, the mother? Her name was Shushniva. And what was the name of the city? Ludkia. So Rabbi Akiva was very mitzdayer, and he went around and inquired, anybody heard of this guy? And everybody told him, he should burn in Gehenim. And he asked about the mother, and she said, they said about her, Yimcha Shema V'zichra min ha'olam. And they asked about the son, and they said, Harehu Aral, he's not even circumcised, and even, they didn't even give him a bris. So Rabbi Akiva finds him, and he gives him a bris milah, and he teaches him Torah, and the kid didn't want to learn any Torah, give me a break. So Rabbi Akiva fasted for 40 days, until he finally got this kid, davened obviously, to learn Torah. Yatzis Abaskol V'amra, so there's a baskol after he fasts 40 days. Imam is daven so much. Baskol says, for this guy? Like, you know, Rabbi Akiva, don't you have better people to daven for? Amr lefanav ribono shalolam. V'halol lefanecha aravtioso. So, at that point, Hashem, as it were, conceded, and he taught him the Aleph base, and he brought him to his house, and he taught him Torah, and he taught him how to bench, and he taught him Kriya Shema, and he taught him how to daven. And then finally, the day came, he was able to stand before the tzibur. He said, Baruch Hu Hashem Mevorach. They answered to him, Baruch Hashem Mevorach Le'olam Vaed. And at that point, this father was finally released from the Puranos. And he comes to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he says, Yihi Ratzon Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetanuach Daitecha B'Gan Eden, Shehinachta Osi Medina Shel Gehenim. And Rabbi Akiva responded, Hashem Shemcha Le'olam, Hashem Zechrecha L'dor V'dor. What a remarkable story. So there's a lot to say about this story, but the basic idea that we see from here is that, yes, a child can be save a parent from Mishpato Shel Gehenim, and even in this case. And the idea is, as we said before, what's the idea of, let's say, Yehi Shmei Rabba, right? What is Kaddish? So Kaddish is being Mekaddish Shem Shemayim Berabim. What do we say in Kaddish? Yisgadel Yisgadei Shmei Rabba. May Hashem's name become Gadol and Kadosh. We're davening that Hashem's name, which is now Nischalel in the world, become Gadol and Kadosh. And when the whole congregation gets together and says Yehi Shmei Rabba, so they too are davening for that. May Hashem's name, there's two ways to translate Yehi Shmei Rabba, but the basic idea is you're davening that Hashem's name will once again be great. And that the Shem Hashem that's now Mechulol Ba'olam will be Niskadesh. And when you do that, it's not just a tefillah for it, but it is a kiyum of it, because you're being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Berabim. And that's why anyone who answers Yehi Shmei Rabba, so the Gemara says, Koren Lo Gzardin, and the Gemara says all sorts of amazing zechuyos that happen when anybody just answers Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevorach B'chol Kocho. People don't really take responding to Kaddish so seriously, but it's an incredible opportunity. And according to the Ramban, in a sense, the central purpose of Shfilah is to gather together publicly and be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and declare our faith in Him and His existence and His Hashkacha. And that's the goal of Tefillah. Yes?
If you're emailing Avilos, do you answer with the Kahal, or should you...
It's a bigger topic now. We're not going to go into females in Kaddish. The more common practice is that sons say Kaddish and not daughters. So the daughters will answer Yehi Shmei Rabba, but they won't lead the Kaddish. There are some opinions that say that women can lead the Kaddish, at least with other people, and they could say it along. And here, too, there are different customs. The more predominant custom is if they're going to do it, it should be done, they should say it more quietly. But they could say it along, and you've probably seen women do this as well. And though this has become, I think, a little more popular in recent times, and when I was growing up, I don't remember seeing it very much, really at all. Nowadays, I think, at least in certain communities, you see it quite frequently. But it is an old practice. It goes back a long time. It's not something new that was, just made up in the last 20 years. It is an old practice, and there are different opinions as to how it should be done.
Answer with the kahal?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they just refrain from answering?
No, of course. Answering is like we saw, is very important. So, in that case, if it's shayach, again, maybe another time we could talk about this question, look at some of the sources and the tshuvos on the topic, and study the history and the different opinions, but there are two different practices, and it is a legitimate practice. It's not something that goes back a long time, the minhag of daughters saying Kaddish. Again, especially in the event that there's no son saying Kaddish. Need not be limited to that case, but that's the more common example. And again, if when it's shayach, someone could discuss with their rav how if it should be done and how it should be done in the best way. Okay. Interesting point, which is that kavod la'achar misa, we say that mechila works, and that includes the avelos, the whole avelos of the Yud Beis Chodesh. The avelos of shloshim, meaning to say, the normal avelos for all avelim is 30 days. That's the shear of avelos, a brother, or a sister, or a child, or a parent. But for a parent, in addition to the regular shloshim, there's the avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, to have avelos continue for another 11 months. That's different than the regular avelos. For the regular avelos, mechila doesn't work. It might be dependent on the discussion whether avelos, what the purpose is it kavod ames, in which case mechila might work, or kavod achayim, or the like. But lemaisa, the avelos of shloshim doesn't work. The avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, though, that additional avelos, the additional 11 months, so that is because of kibud aveim. And because it's because of kibud aveim, then mechila works. Usually parents won't be mochal, but if a parent wishes to be mochal, they can be. I remember Melech Shechter, Shechter's father, was mochal on that avelos. Why? Why do you want to be mochal? So he said, because I know that my son goes to many weddings. And when Rav Shechter goes to many weddings, he brings a lot of simcha to the chasen and the kala when he's able to attend and to participate. So he didn't want to be the cause of his son missing all these weddings and all these chasens and kalas missing out. Imagine, a whole year Rav Shechter didn't go to any weddings. So he was mochal. So Rav Shechter, I think, followed a slightly more lenient view. He generally did keep the avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh, I think, but he followed a more lenient view with respect to attending weddings because of his father's mechila. So, yes?
Somebody like Rav Shechter, anyone is allowed to if he's in Seder Kiddushin?
So, it's a good question. We're not going to go into details now, but yes, you're right. There's a difference between Seder Kiddushin versus staying for the dancing and other things. Another amazing thing about Rav Shechter, this is unbelievable. Rav Shechter not only goes to a lot of weddings, but he generally stays till the end through Shefa Brachas. It's unbelievable. Everybody else is like so busy, they have to leave after the first dance, middle of the first dance, after the state, whatever it is. And Rav Shechter, generally speaking, stays till the end of the chasana. It's an unbelievable thing. So, yes, you're correct that when one is an avelos, if a rav is an avelos, doesn't mean he can't go at all. And in general, even other people, if we decide to learn halachos avelos, we could talk about what parts of a wedding an avel can go to and can't go to, and does it depend? What if it's a close relative? But not for now.
So again, halachos avelos is even if somebody was a rasha, parent was a rasha.
So again, also that's not to talk about now. That's halachos avelos shaila. But you are correct that sometimes when a parent is a rasha of a certain sort, one might not have avelos for such a parent. Generally speaking, we rarely apply that rule nowadays, rarely if ever. And sometimes, in a certain sense, there's even an opposite idea. If a child intermarries, you sit shiva for them while they're alive. Or you sit shiva for them twice, or different customs. Anyway, as I said, if we decide to do halachos avelos, we can go into those details. Yeah?
Is Russia the same definition as a parent who's mentally ill?
No, chas v'shalom. Mentally ill. It's not their fault. You can't. Of course. Okay. Fine. Speaking of maybe mentally ill parents. So the Gemara asks, new topic, Ad heichan kibud aveim? What extent does kibud aveim go? We've seen this already in some other contexts, but this is what Rabbi Lazar said. Kidei sheyitol arniki b'yizrakenu liyam b'fanav. Imagine the child is standing and the parent comes and grabs his or her wallet and throws it into the sea. Ve'enu machlima. And still the child isn't machlim. Now likely we're talking about a case of, like you said, maybe a parent that's disturbed. Why else would a parent throw their kid's wallet into the ocean? Maybe other reasons, but anyway, so what do? You don't respond. And the Gemara discusses whose wallet, the parent's wallet, the kid's wallet, depends whether you hold of Michelle Ben or Michelle Av or the like, but either way, without getting into details, that's the way we paskin, that the halacha is, Haya Ben Lavush Bigdei Chamudos, the child is wearing beautiful clothing. The Yoshev Biro Shakal, he's standing at the head of the congregation. Uva'u'aviv imo v'karu'as begadav. They come and they rip his or her clothing and they pop them over the head and they spit at them. Still lo yachlim osam. You may not be machlim, you may not disparage, offend, scream at the parents. Rather, what should you do? You should be afraid of Hashem, who said that you have to have yira from the parents. And even if they throw a big wallet full of gold, you can't get angry at them and the like. So rather, you should be makabel the gzer of makom v'yishtok. Now, parenthetically, this doesn't mean that you can't sue the parents. They threw your money into the wallet, so they owe you the money. And certainly the way we paskin, you could sue them, you could take them to court, but you can't be machlim them. It is never appropriate to scream at them, yell at them, embarrass them, even though they did this despicable thing that was super embarrassing to you. This is sort of like we talked about last time, a lot of times when parents make inappropriate requests of their children. They don't necessarily respect boundaries. So you don't have to listen to your parents. But what you can't do is yell at them or scream at them. And a lot of times people really do the opposite of what they should do. They yell at the parents and they fight and then they listen. Don't listen, but don't fight. So that's the halacha. And this really shows you how hard Kibud Aveim really is. It's not an easy mitzvah to fulfill properly. In fact, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan says, Ashrei mi shelo chaman. Lucky, fortunate is a person who never saw his parents. How could you say such a thing? Because it's so hard to be mekayim Kibud Aveim properly that if you don't see your parents. Rabbi Yochanan himself experienced this. Rabbi Yochanan's father was born after he was conceived, and his mother died in childbirth. So he never saw his parents. And he said, wow, I'm lucky, because it's so hard to be Mekayim Mitzvos Kibud Aveim properly. I don't know if perhaps that statement was his way of saying Gamzu L'Tova and seeing the good in a very tragic situation. It's interesting, he himself lost many, many children. But it certainly reflects how hard it is to be mekayim this mitzvah properly. Now, the solution isn't obviously to run away from your parents, but it does highlight how hard it is. Now, another interesting question that comes up also in a new topic is, what happens if the parents want to be mechaved the children? I guess this is very common nowadays. But what happens if the parents want to be mechaved the children? So, we're not up to that yet. Sorry to go out of order. Let's just go in any order, otherwise I might forget. So, we'll get that into 1 second. Different question. The Gemara asks the following very fascinating question. What happens if a father says Hashkeni Mayim and a mother says Hashkeni Mayim? So we already saw, perhaps the father should come first because of the mother also is to some degree Meshubedes to the father. We talked about the scope of that. But what about if the person is, his parents are divorced? So in that case, there's no reason his mother should be Mechabed his father. They're both equal. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara records that a ben almana asked this question to first Rabbi Elazar and then Rabbi Yeshua, and he said to him, very cryptic answer, Mibein risei einecha nikar sheben almana ata. There's two girsos here. First we'll present Rashi's. From, you know, he could look at his eyelashes and see he's cried a lot. So he said, I could see that you've cried a lot. You're a ben almana. In which case, the way Rashi understands it is he shouldn't have asked this question in a lamaisa dika way, because it wasn't a lamaisa question. You could ask learning questions that aren't lamaisa. But when you ask a learning question, it's different than asking a lamaisa question. So anyway, what was the answer he was given? Hata lahen mayim besafal, the kakel and katarnagolin. So put the water in front of the two of them in a trough, and like cluck at them like a rooster. So what does this answer mean? What's he telling him? So the answer could be understood in one of two ways. One way, this is the way the Beis Yosef understands Rashi and many Rishonim, is that you choose. In other words, in this case, the father asks for a glass of water, the mother asks for a glass of water. There's no reason to give one more kavod than the other. So therefore, you choose who you want to give first. The other way, some of the Rishonim say it, this might depend also on the Girsa, some are going to speak Rushata, is no. The Gemara actually means it much more literally, which is you can't choose. Why can't you choose? Let's say it's this fellow's a ben busha. So if he gives his father first, his mother will be offended. If she gives her mother first, the father will be offended. And you have no choice. So if you could, you know, come up with a suitable explanation to give one of them first, I don't know, maybe the one who asked first or something like that, one is closer, I don't know. But if not, you can't choose in a way that will offend one of them. So that's what it says. You have to give them both at the same time. You have to, you know, as it were, put the water in the trough in front of both of them and say, here, take, here's your water, right? As opposed to giving one of them or the other. Because Yudafka can't be mocked in one over the other. That's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yerucham. And but as I said, according to the Beis Yosef's understanding of Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam, you could choose. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins le'eze mehen sheyirtze yaktim. You could choose. However, the Pesachei Teshuva quotes that the Marshal said, no, you can't choose. You can't choose one over the other. So hopefully, you know, the answer is you should figure out a way to do it that you don't offend anyone. Because as we've seen, Kibud Avim isn't just being mechabed them, but it's making sure that you don't cause them pain or suffering or anything like that. Yeah.
So, similar situation, whenever my grandfather and father, or either grandfather, whether it's my father's father-in-law or father, my father doesn't like us to give him first, because he doesn't want to take it super.
Ah, okay, so we'll get to that in a second. But the answer is, in that case, a parent could be mochel. So you should give, if your father and your grandfather both ask for something, so you should give your father first, because your chiv of kibbutz to your father is greater than your grandfather. However, if your father says, give the zaydi first, so then you should do that, because in that case your father's mochal and your father's dafka asking you to give the other person first. So
I think should bring it out together. I mean, it's like the other situation.
Right. Now, another point, before we get to the one that I said, is relates to the relationship that parents have to their children. And the Gemara says, in the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Asur la'adam ha'achbet ulal albanav ledaktik b'chvodo imahim. Shelo yivim lidei mechshom. We love our children. We don't want to be machshil our children. So if you're too hard on your children, you ask of them too much, so you're setting them up for failure, you're setting them up to do an aveira. Ela yimchol v'yalim einav mehem. You should be mochel and turn your eyes away, pretend you didn't see certain things. Sha'av shemachal kavodo kavodo mochel, because a parent can be mochel. Now obviously this doesn't mean you shouldn't ask for anything. You shouldn't spoil your kids. You're not doing them any favors by never asking them anything. That's part of a parent's responsibility of chinuch. Even if a parent doesn't need anything, it's important that they teach their children by asking them to help and pitch in and the like. But at the same time, the Gemara is telling us that you have to be careful not to go too far. The Gemara even says that this could be a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. If a parent strikes a child who's above a certain age, so the child might punch the parent back. And then, what has the parent done? They've done Lifnei Iver. They've caused their child to do a terrible aveira. So that is something that parents have to keep in mind, that they should be mocho, and that they shouldn't take it. They shouldn't insist on too much kavod. And obviously, drawing the right line, the right balance, is something that's not easy, and that requires a lot of thought. So, I guess the last topic, since I said we were going to do it, is what happens if your parents want to be mechaved you? So the Gemara is a story. Amar le Rav Yaakov bar Avuha le Abaye kigona na da'ada asina mi bei rav abba madli li kasa v'ima mazgali hechi avid. Rav Yaakov said to Abaye, you know, I come home from yeshiva. So my parents, they're so proud of me. They have so much nachas. I'm a big Rosh Yeshiva. So my father gives me a cup of water, and my mother pours me a glass of wine, and my parents want to be mechaved with me. So what should I do? I don't feel right. Should I take it from them? So Abaye said back to him, Me imech kabel, me avuch lo tekabel. Take from your mother, not from your father. Dekevan debar Torahu, your father is also a bar hachi. Maybe he wasn't as great of a Talmud Chacham as his son, but he's also a Talmud Chacham. Chal shadaite. Right, he might feel bad if you take from him. But your mother, she's going to only feel nachas. If you want to make her feel good, you know, eat those cookies that she baked for you. And in fact, the Gemara says a story about Rabbi Tarfon. And the Yerushalmi has a different version of this, that Rabbi Tarfon Mamish, his mother would like put her hands down so his son could walk on her hands, not to get his feet dirty, right? Ad kedei kach. And he says, you know, what should I do? In fact, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says an even more amazing story. It once says that Rabbi Yishmael's mother comes to the Beis Medrash, and she starts complaining, my son, Rabbi Yishmael, he's mamish, a terrible child. So they ask, what exactly does he do? So she says, you know, I want to wash his feet, and I want to take care of him, and he doesn't let me. So they told Rabbi Yishmael that you should listen to her. You should let her do it. Why? Yanichena lasos v'tzona uv'inyan zehu kibud. The way you're going to be mechabed her is by letting her wash your feet, because that's really what's going to make her feel good. So in that case, that's the right thing to do. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins this halacha that if someone's a Talmud Chacham and his parents want to be Masharis him, so you should let the mother do it, but not the father, if the father is also a Talmud Chacham. But the question is, what if the father is a Talmid Chacham, but he really wants to? So this is a dispute. The Ran says, then you should let the father do it. Why? Because since the whole reason why the Gemara says you shouldn't let the father do it is because maybe he'll feel bad, but Adarabba, you see, it's making him feel good. The Birkei Yosef quotes others who say, no, you shouldn't do it, because even though he says he wants to do it, he still might feel a little bad. And the Chayadim says, it's also l'shtamish b'ven Torah. It's not right. So, it's a machlokas haposkim. Okay, so we'll stop here now to do a little bit of Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah. I think probably by next time, yeah, we don't have too much left. Very little left, actually. So we'll have to see what's going to be the next topic. But the next time we'll start a new... we'll finish up Kibbutz Avim and probably start a new topic. Okay, so we've been finishing the Rambam Hilchos Teshuvah, and we're towards the end, and actually it's really a very beautiful week to do the halacha we're about to study, because Shavuos is described as the wedding kaviyachol between Kol Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a reflection of this great love. And this is where the Rambam describes the great love. So the Rambam writes, Ketzad hi ha'ava ha're'uya. What is the appropriate love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hu sheyahav es Hashem ava gedola yisera aza me'od. Wow, I don't think I could translate that. Extraordinarily powerful love. Ad shetei nafsho kshura bi'avas Hashem. V'nimtza shoge batamid kilu chola ha'ava. You should be... This is like the Hollywood movies, right? You should be literally lovesick. Meaning to say, you're so overcome with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're always thinking about it. It never departs your mind. Bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo, bein b'shashu ochal v'shosa, whether you're sitting, you're standing, you're eating, you're drinking, it's always on your mind. And not just that, but yaser mizah. That's like a lovesick person. Even more than that should be your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tiavas Hashem b'leiv ohavav shogim batamid. K'mo shetivanu b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Like we say in Shema, literally, b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. The Rambam at the end of Mar Devuchim describes how this is the extraordinary level of the Avos, that other great people, that most people, most great people, I shouldn't say most people, but most people, most great people, so they think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu some of the time. For example, when they say brachos, or when they daven, or the like, and the Rambam says that's actually the purpose of things like brachos, to make us remember Hashem when we're about to eat, when we're finished eating. And in fact, the Rambam goes ahead and he has a whole step-by-step preparation how to get this. You start off by having kavana at Shema, and then the beginning of Shmona Esrei, and you expand and you expand. But still, most people, great people, so they think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they're davening and the like. But when they're engaged in commerce, so they're thinking about commerce. But the Avos reached the Madrega, where, like the Rambam says over here, Shoga Batamid, the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu never cease to depart from their minds. An extraordinary thing. I once was with a friend of mine, who's now Rabbi Chashav Rosh Cholo, and we had to go to eat Kiddush at a certain person's house, and this person liked to talk. And so he was talking and talking and talking and talking. So fine, the Kiddush had interesting things, not boring, not Lashon Hara, nothing bad, stories. So after we leave, this fellow says to me, I want to tell you the following seven chidushim I came up with while we were there. And he told me them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But while he was there, he was participating in the conversation. The guy didn't know he was in a different world. So that's an incredible madriga. I don't know how he does that. I can't do that. But that's what Rambam says, someone who's always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is that it's not just something that, you know, brilliant Talmidei Chachamim could do. Lamashal, a parent, mother especially, I think, is always thinking about her child. Not necessarily always in the front of her mind, but in the back of her mind, even when she's at work, even when she's doing something else, whether it's in the front of her mind or in the back of her mind, she's thinking of her child. So the Rambam is saying the same thing. And even more is possible with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gush Shlomo Amar Derech Mashal Ki Choylas Ahava Ani. This is what Shlomo said in Shir HaShirim. I'm lovesick. V'chol Shir HaShirim Mashal Hu Inyan Zeh. The entire book of Shir HaShirim is a mashal for this idea. Meaning to say the idea that the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be similar to the love of two people who have fallen in love. Amru Chachamim HaRishonim. Shama Tomar Hareini Lome Torah B'Shvil Shei Ashir B'Shvil Shei Akrit Rabbi. Maybe a person will say, I'm going to learn Torah so I could be wealthy. If not wealthy, get a salary. Or so I could be chashuv, get a lot of kavod. Not just Torah, mitzvot. A person might do it for lo lishma reasons. Or even, b'shvil shekabal schar ba'olam haba. Talmud lomar, liavas Hashem. Kol ma sha'atem osim, lo tasu, ela me'ava. No, you should do it me'ava. Not for something that you're going to get. And the Rambam writes along similar lines in the Pirush Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, Ve'ata ha'ma'ayin, havein ze ha'mashal shani mamshilcha, sim bedatcha, ki na'ar katan, evi'u etzel melamed lolmo Torah, elamdo Torah. So you bring a small child to the melamed to teach them Torah. V'zeu ha'tova gadol lo, le'inyin ma'ashi yasig mina shlemos, al shehu le'miyot shanav, so, this child who has the opportunity to learn Torah, what could be greater? There's no greater schar. But the child doesn't understand that that's something that's valuable. So, ulefikach bechrech yitzarcham lamed lazaris oso bedvarim shehem ahuvim etzlo lekatna shana. So the melamed has no choice but to motivate him by things that will be important to him now, whatever it is, a baseball glove, toys. Vi, Omar lo, kara v'etein lecha gozim otenim, read, study, learn, and I'll give you some candies. In those days you get away with nuts. Won't work anymore. Uvzeh hukori mishtada lo le'etzim akriyas, he learns, not because of the kriya, not because of the chachma. He doesn't appreciate that, but rather to get the candies. Because that's what he likes. And that's why for the child he thinks of learning as mamish, a hard work, a torture, nothing that's pleasurable, but you do it to get the candy. And when the child gets a little older and he is a little more intelligent, but still he's not going to be motivated by the etzem chachma. So what's he going to be motivated by? He wants a new set of shoes, or begadim chamudim, and that's what he's going to work for. And then he gets a little older, and shoes aren't so important to him, and certainly candy isn't so important to him, but now he wants kavod. He wants to be the best kid in the class. He wants everyone to say, wow, he's smart. Or he wants to be a Rebbe, or a Rosh Yeshiva, or a Dayan. So he works so hard, learns a lot, so that people are mechabed him. But the Rambam writes, v'chol ze meguna. And this is what Chazal said is learning shelo lishma. What is Lashma? For the Chachma. Shiyasa mitzvah v'ishtadal b'torah lo lo oso davar be'atzmo. That's shalolishma. In other words, not for the sake of the chachma. El b'shvil davar acher zulas ha'chachma. Anything besides the chachma, that's shalolishma. And Chazal said to be very careful about this. Al tasa atara lizgadol ba. Make sure Torah isn't something that you use to glorify yourself in. And there's a danger, the Rambam says, because on the one hand, you have to sometimes use these incentives to motivate children. But there's a danger, because then they never grow out of it. They get used to learning for something else. So it just changes as they grow older. Starts off as candies, then it's nice shoes, then it's kavod, but it's all the same thing. Still shalol l'shma. And it's very tricky. It's very tricky. Ve'od amru chachamim b'mitzvosav chafetz me'od v'lo b'schar mitzvosav. You should desire mitzvos, not schar mitzvos, but mitzvos. V'kach hayu gedoli chachamim mitzavim l'nevuchei l'nevone talmideihem u'maskileihem b'yichud. Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'masham shenas harav al-menas l'kav ha'pras. You shouldn't serve Hashem like an eved who serves in order to get a pras. Al-mepnei shehu harav roi l'sham sho. But rather, because it's right. Kolomar ivdu me'ava. So, obviously, this is a very high madrega. We read last time how Avram Avinu reaches madrega. But still, it's something that we all have to strive for. And it's not all or nothing. It's incremental. So our avoda, we're very far from this incredible madrega, perhaps, that he's describing. But over this yantif, we could think about how do we get a little better in this respect. And one thing, I think, to keep in mind, this isn't something that's so easy, but is to make sure that we do something, some mitzvah, whether it's learning or chesed or the like, that nobody else knows about. Sometimes it's important to share your mitzvos, your mechazek other people. But if we're always sharing everything we do, making sure somebody else knows about it, even if it's only one person, you don't tell them, you hint it, you let them see it, whatever. So then that's not what the ideal is. So while I'm not saying we have to become, must hear everything, there's certain tzaddikim that did that. But at the very least, to try to think of one thing that we do that nobody else knows about. And in that way, we can feel that we're doing that me'ava. Even that's not necessarily me'ava. Maybe you're doing it for a star, but still. I think that's one step closer, if it's something that helps us get one step closer to where we should be. All right, everybody should have a good yantif. Chag Kashem Sameach. And Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up next Monday night. I'll have to figure out what to do next. I see everybody's interested in Hochos Avelos, but maybe not. Right. Maybe not. I don't know yet. Okay, we'll think of something. Okay, have a good night.